Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. This morning I'm going to just touch on 4 points. Not necessarily tying it into Father's Day, but we could tie it into Father's Day. Last week we saw that Paul begins by saying, be imitators of God. When I read that, I'm going, wow, how is that possible? That's so far beyond, you know, my mind and my life. I can't even comprehend it. And then Paul brings it down to a level that we can kind of start getting maybe a grasp on, because he says, be imitators of God. I just lost my place. As do children. And walk in love. So we talked about what that meant. You know, how we can walk in love. Well, Paul's continuing to walk this morning. I like these little descriptions and these little ways that Paul really describes our life. Again, fathers, you know, how should I live? What kind of father should I be? Well, we can, in many ways, imitate our Heavenly Father, right? We looked at that actually last week in Exodus chapter 33. These are the Father's qualities or traits, characteristics. They're the same qualities, traits, and characteristics that are exhibited in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so we want to represent the Father in our lives as earthly fathers. And so here's the contrast, and I want to talk this morning just about some of these ideas, these words. For you were once darkness. Not I thought that sometimes the wording in the scriptures is so precise and so interesting. Not that you were in darkness. We were dark. We were darkness. We were once, for you were once darkness. How were we darkness? We were alienated from God. We were enemies of God. We were God haters. We were sinners. Our minds were darkened. The scriptures say that. Our hearts were wicked. Desperately wicked, Jeremiah says. Our thoughts, our inclinations, everything about us was dark. We were dead in our sins. You were once darkness, but that's all changed. Now you are light in the Lord. I thought how interesting that is. I was thinking this week, are my thoughts light? Is my mind light? Paul says another place that I should take every thought and bring it into the captivity of Jesus Christ. Because all my life I've thought one way, and then you were born again, and we're no longer darkness. Paul's saying, now we're light. What is my mind light? Is your mind light this morning? Now you are light in the Lord. Is my lifestyle one of light, or am I still walking in darkness? Am I still living in darkness? I think it's interesting how many times the Bible kind of says that there's nothing really secret in my life. Now, I might have a secret from you, but I have no secrets when it comes to God. And there's a possibility that even my secrets will be even revealed to you. Someday I'll stand before the Lord, and there, believe me, there will be no secrets. How many of you ever saw a chicks track? One of the first ones I ever saw. Animated. I think the title of the track was, "This is Your Life." And so you see a guy and he's standing before the throne of God, and there's this big movie screen. And the essence is, someday I'm going to stand before God and my entire life is going to be played before me. That's a scary thought. It's going to be revealed. And so I was once darkness. I thought, you know, we walk in love. We're to imitate God. We're to be dear children. And certainly, again, we see how our kids imitate us and how they learn. As we walk in love, we also walk what? In light. We are light. And again, just my life, my thought life, my speech, right? My conduct. How about even my attitudes? Are they dark or are they light? I was once in darkness, and I was thinking, I liked it. That's what it was. I was once there. Now I don't have to be there. Now I'm not there. And so I want to walk in the light. I want to be a person. And that's what he says then. In the last part of this verse, walk as children of the light. When you think of the light, you think of a life that's open, a life that's innocent, a life that's pure, a life that brings healing, a life that's illuminated. You can think of all kinds of things, but I'm walking like Jesus walked. You know, when you walk in the light, when you walk in love and you walk in light, you become a vulnerable person. People might not like a person that walks in love. People might not like a person that walks in the light. Joseph walked in the light, didn't he? Joseph walked in the light before his father and before his brothers. Guess what? His brothers didn't like it at all. In fact, his brothers determined that they were going to get rid of Joseph. And so they plotted this whole scheming thing that they were going to get rid of him, they were going to kill him. They ended up, you know the story, they ended up throwing him in the pit, and then the Midianites came by, and rather than kill him, they decided to sell him. They sold him to this caravan who take him to Egypt, and then he sold to the Egyptians into slavery. Why? Simply because he was an individual, a young man, who had his father's heart, who had his father's interest at heart, and he simply was following through on what God was telling him to do. Sometimes when we want to follow through on the things that God tells us to do, people don't like it. Might bring conviction into their lives. They might try and put you down. You know, you're a holier than thou type of person. No, I just want to please the Lord. I just want to live a life that glorifies the Lord. I just want to live a life that exalts the Lord. I just want to be a witness for the Lord. I just want to serve Jesus, that's all. And every one of us has a choice to do that or not. And so I was once in darkness. We're not in darkness anymore. Colossians, when we get there, Paul says, you know what? I once was this, now I'm this. I'm going to, actually, the words he uses, I'm going to put this off. I'm going to put this on. I'm going to put off the things of darkness. I'm going to put off the things of the flesh. I'm going to put off the things that are displeasing to God, and I'm going to put on the things that are pleasing to God. I'm going to put on the things of God, the things of Christ. I have a part. I'm going to make a choice today. I'm going to pray. Rather than just get in the flesh and act out in the flesh. I'm going to choose to rejoice rather than just choose to criticize and complain. I'm going to have a song in my heart rather than murmuring all day. I'm going to be a person of celebration. I'm going to be a person of praise. I've got to choose to do that. God, nobody's going to make me do that. God's not going to make me do that. But Paul says, again, in another epistle that we're going to go through here one of these days, soon, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. So, I was once in darkness, but now I'm light. And what makes me light? It's the Lord. We just finished Revelation. Jim started Corinthians this past week. The week before, we finished that Jesus is the light. There's no in a new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem, there's no sun, there's no moon. God's the light. Jesus said, I'm the light. Right? In the Gospel of John. Jesus is in us. Walk as children of the light. I like this. I mean, he gives us some ideas here, right? For the fruit of the Spirit, oh, when I'm in Jesus, when I'm filled with the Spirit, when I'm abiding in Jesus, John says in John 15 that fruit's produced. And so the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's the when I'm abiding, when I'm walking with the Lord, when I'm walking in love, when I'm walking in the light, the fruit of the Spirit is produced, and it's those good things. The fruit of the Spirit is love, isn't it? It is joy. It is peace. It is goodness. It is truthfulness. It is patience. It is kindness. Those are the traits of Jesus. They are the fruit of the Spirit. And then I thought verse 10 was interesting. I don't know why I thought about this. Again, just the way it's... Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I'm always demanding, this is the way I'm going to live. This is how I am, and this is what I'm going to do. It's not what it says. Wow, that's... You mean that's actually some... Lord, what pleases you? How many times did I ask that this week? Lord, what pleases you? Lord, was it... Nah, I'm not living under some law, some set of rules. Jesus, as I'm going through my day, you know, what is acceptable to you right now, Jesus, in the place that I'm at? Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. What's acceptable to the Lord? What pleases him? As a child, I had to maybe think of that. He's my master. If I'm a slave, what other responsibility do I have? I have no other responsibility but to please my master, to take care of my master's business, and to do the very best job that I can do to elevate all that is my master. Wow, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Lord, I just got ripped off royally. Lord, what's acceptable to you? What's an acceptable response to that in my life? How do I respond to that person that has just said something that I didn't particularly like? I like the Lord. I always go back to his conversation with John the Baptist's disciples. I thought, geez, that's so powerful. Am I going to choose to be offended or not? That's maturity. I don't know what day it was. And I know it's because I eat them like crazy. But one day this week, there were no animal crackers left in my house. And that night, I wanted animal crackers. I knew Kim had gone out that day. Why didn't you get me my animal crackers? Well, you eat them too fast. Well, that's beyond the point. I mean, any little thing can offend us, right? You know, what is my response to these things? What's the acceptable thing to do? What is the acceptable thing, the acceptable way to live in the Lord? You know, I don't care what they said. I don't care how they approach the thing. It's no big deal. You know, I'm gonna pray about it. I'm going to put that situation right to the Lord. Lord, would you take care of it? And Lord, would you do a work in my heart that I'm not upset about it? I'm not. God, you're bigger than this thing that's really big right now in my mind and in my heart. And if you're like me, that thing can just keep going, just like, you know, that reel. I like the little things we used to get when we were kids. You just get clicking and it just keeps going in a circle. You see the same 15 pictures. Oh, isn't that amazing? I just saw that 5 minutes ago. Oh, man, it's still amazing. You know, it just goes around, 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 around. And that's how I am with certain things. You know, just, I go, my goodness. That happened to me. Again, this, it seems to happen driving a lot. I don't know if it happens to you. But I was pulling out of the Burger King exit. I wasn't in Burger King. That's my shortcut when I'm at Lowe's. I park way down by the bank. I can zip around the outside. No stop sign. I only stopped 10 times. And they got a crossing for everything down there, right? The cockroach crossing. You know, let's stop for them. And so I just zip around the outside, go through Burger King. I'm free. I'm home. And I'm pulling out. There's a bunch of cars coming. There's nobody. There's no cars coming my way. And there's a whole line where I want to pull in. Oh, I had to go across. I was going to Verizon, my phone. That was a trial. I had a phone I understood pretty much. It was a simple device. I no longer have that. Because it stopped working. You know, you can't hardly buy those anymore. And if you want to be on the in crowd, you've got to have... Well, I even bought the wrong phone. I heard about this morning. I should have bought an iPhone. I didn't. I have failed again in life. I fail so much. I mean... Well, make a long story short, I was going to Verizon. That's what I was going. So I had to cross both lanes. There's no traffic coming this way. There's all kinds of traffic coming that way, and there's a line. I can't see what's... I pull across part way. So I can look. I'm crossing. And this guy, he comes. I was not even across the center line. I just wanted to be able to see. This guy in a pickup comes. Almost stops. Looks at, what are you doing? Now, I don't know if he was big. I don't know if he was tall. He probably could have cleaned my clock. I'm glad he didn't come after me. I mean, when you get those reactions, is it old age? Is it because I'm becoming senile? Why do I react? I don't think I used to. When I was younger, I used to react, but there's been a lot of years I don't react. I react. Is it frustration? What is going on in my life, Lord? That I react. It's like, why do you do that to me? It's not the Lord, I know that. Because I reacted in an ungodly way, and so... You know, It's just, what's acceptable to the Lord, right? What, why, if he's offended, why should I, I'm not going to respond to that. You know, I don't give people the fingers, but I give them like looks, and what I do is I yell, I talk to them. Yeah, what's your problem, buddy? I'm just crossing the street here. You know, get over it. And I know it's not the Lord. And so why am I not in the Spirit in those moments? I don't know. It's what he's saying here. I need to be walking in the light. And there's so many times I fail. And what's acceptable to the Lord? What's an acceptable response to these things that we encounter? I need to walk in the light. Verse 11, have no fellowship. And that's sometimes we can get in trouble, right? I think I can hang out here or partake of this just a little bit, maybe dabble here. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I got to stay away from them. No fellowship with darkness. Paul says in Corinthians, I need to even watch out who I hang out with. Because if I'm not hanging out with the right people, bad company corrupts good character. Now I think, oh, I can do whatever I want. And I'm going to win them, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You might. I've said this before. I have no fellowship. There's no way I can have true fellowship with an unbeliever. No way. I can think I'm having fun, or I can think it's fulfillment. Somehow, it's not. Biblically, there's no fulfillment there. There's no satisfaction because we have nothing in common. It's like two positives coming together, and they just can't come together. There's no way. What fellowship has darkness with light? There is none. What friendship has Christ with Satan? There is no friendship. And so somehow I think I can hang out and do all these things. And again, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the... And sometimes I think I'm having fellowship with it, but there is not. It's a lie. It's a deception by the enemy. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what kind of Joseph got in trouble with, didn't he? His brothers weren't taking care of his father's business, and he simply gave a report to his dad. Yeah, they're messing around. They're not taking care of things. They hated him. They hated him all the time. Then he had the dreams. Oh my goodness. Wow, God's going to do this, and God has a plan for your life. Wow. It's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you life. We need to be born again. We need to have Christ's life in us, Christ's light in us. And then we walk in the light. And when we're walking in the light, light dispels darkness. Light exposes the hidden and the secret things of darkness. The Holy Spirit, we're going to read next, and this is as far as we're going to go, the fourth point. Again, maybe I didn't make it clear. We were once in darkness. We're not in darkness anymore. We were of the darkness. We're not of the darkness anymore. We are born again. We're filled with Jesus. We're filled with the Spirit. We're filled with light. We're people of the light. We're children of the light. We need to walk in the light. We need to find out what are the acceptable things of the Lord. What pleases the Lord? What glorifies the Lord? Lastly, I just want to, because we've done this before, but this, notice this is what leads into, we're going to end with relationships, this chapter, this book, all kinds of different relationships. How are my relationships successful? How can my relationships be the most fulfilling? There's one way, and Paul's going to, that's how, what he leads into here. It's like the preamble. I walk in love, I walk in light, now I need to walk in wisdom. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In these last days, and he's going to say that we're in the last days, I need to walk in love, I need to walk in light, and I need to walk in wisdom. I need to walk being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's ultimately where we'll end. But isn't it interesting that we have a certain amount of time? I've been at, you know, a few funerals recent. Last Saturday was my aunt's. Lived a long life. It's interesting, too, that every Thursday, Kim and I go to the Rouse home, and you develop these relationships, and they're short-term relationships. Sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's a month. A few, it's been years. Not many, but a few. Usually it's a year at the most down there. And you develop these relationships, and they even impact our lives. And then they're gone because they're at the end of their life. And, you know, I remember some of the things that different ones have done and said, and it's wonderful, you know, how they, you know, just what God does. And time is short. That's the whole thing. And I guess as I go down there and then, you know, contemplate, you know, where I am in life, I'm getting old. And so the Bible says what? If we're blessed, I mean, we're always blessed, but it kind of define a blessed life as what? 70 years, right? Is that what it is? Do you know? What is that? 70 years. Yeah, 80. I go, oh. And some of you know what that's like. So, time's short. And isn't it interesting that as we live in the last days, and we live and we're constrained by time. We're really, in certain essences, in bondage to time as people. And yet this statement that I walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise. And that walk is defined, first of all, by redeeming the time. I looked up the different Greek words for time. It's just a normal Greek word for time. Just chronos, I think, is the word he uses there. And it's just like, why? The days are evil. And while it's still light, look at what Jesus said. While it's still light, what? Work. While you still have opportunity, work. The ministry and the life that God has given us, no matter, and all of our lives and ministries are different in so many ways. You know, our I guess areas of ministry might be different. You know, whether it be in a home or in an office or whatever, in our communities and in our homes. In the church, it's different. You know, I don't think I've ever done the nursery as long as Calvary Chapel Russell has existed. I don't think on Sundays I've ever done children's church. Just our ministries are different. You know, where many of you have done, many of you haven't done this, right? Some of you have. All right, why? Just one isn't more important than the other. It's just that we have different areas of ministry. We're different parts of the body. And so the one thing that we have is we just have so much time to do that. God's saying, make the most of that time. The days are evil. I think of the radio station, and who knows what will. Again, I hope you guys are praying for the radio stations. It always seems to be, but we're critical times. Just pray that God would provide for the radio stations. And I just think, wow, you know, I think that who's the prince and power of the air? Satan. What's a radio station do? In a certain way, we're filling the airwaves with Jesus. That's an awesome thing. That's so refreshing. We're redeeming it. We're redeeming what Satan has his grasp on, what Satan has his grip on. The day and the times are evil. We're living in the last days. I need to redeem these days. I need to redeem the time. I think of, again, just my life. How can I redeem more time for the Lord? I want to redeem it. Redeem it all. I mean, I think as we dedicate, present our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord, we're redeeming. Our service, our work, everything we do, you know, whether we're, I say this so often, man, I'm sure I've had bad attitudes. I've done work that's not right. I've done, you know, you have too. You know, man, you could have done a better job, you know, ministering to the family and cleaning the house or doing the yard work, fixing, you know, that thing that's mom or your wife's asked you to fix for 2 years. I know Kim's done that to me. Kim, I'm working. I do this every day. I don't want to do it every time I come home. You know what God does? The steps, you can't even walk down them. They're so bad. I better take an afternoon and rebuild those babies. Right? Finally. Kim, I don't know what she thought, you know. Did he have a visitation from God? Finally, he got off his rear end and did that? Before I fell and broke my neck? She'd come in and say, just make sure you step in the middle of that step. If you step anywhere else, you're probably going to go on your head. I think there's something wrong. I think I better fix it. Right? And so, you know, whatever we do for the Lord. So we're redeeming the time because the days are evil. And how do we do that? We serve the Lord, whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we do to the glory of God. We share the gospel. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. I love this. We're to walk in wisdom. We're to redeem the time. We're to redeem the days, in essence. Don't be unwise. Lord, what's your will for me? I don't know how many people have asked me that. And again, there are specific things. What's your will? Should we do the radio? I think right now, yeah. I think that's the Lord's will. He gave it to us. Whatever. But generally, what is the will of the Lord for my life? Do not be drunk with wine. I don't know why he says that. I think it was a problem in this culture. I think it's a problem today. He specifically pulls that out. He didn't say don't hit your neighbor or your fist in the face. This was a real, you know, he's picking something that was a problem. They drank wine. When you start, you know, even if it's for purity because of water, whatever, it's cultural, whatever, there's a danger because it is it can be an addictive substance. And so drunkenness was a problem. Don't be drunk with wine. That's destruction. Don't let anything Don't put yourself in any kind of bondage. The internet can bring bondage. Satellite TV can bring bondage. Peers, people can bring bondage. I mean, anything can, I mean, it depends. We all have weaknesses. And so don't allow yourself to be put in bondage. Don't enter. Allow your life to possibly be destroyed. But what's the will of the Lord? Just be filled with God's Spirit. One last time in closing this morning, this word. We know that the Spirit of God is with us. The Spirit of God, John 16, convicts man, leads us, woos us to Christ. When we accept Christ, the Spirit of God indwells us. Jesus breathed on his disciples, and they were the Spirit filled them. Then he said, wait, to those same disciples, he said, wait, after I leave and go back to the Father, the Spirit will come upon you. Four different prepositions. There's a fifth thing in the scriptures that I love, and it's right here. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Be filled. Pleru. Be continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. Three characteristics. A ship found direction and sailed as the wind would fill the sails. That's a characteristic. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill the sails of your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct your life, to lead your life. Baptism. Squeeze the sponge, put it under the water, let it go. We do that when we do floors, tile floors. Put it under. Squeeze it out. That water fills just about every pore. It probably gets 100 times heavier than what it normally would be, a sponge. I never weighed it, but water's pretty heavy, right? We want to be heavy with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit would saturate us, baptize us continually. Just be baptizing us and saturating and permeating our being. And the last sense is that the Holy Spirit, like filling us the waves of that sail, Paul says, if I don't have a rudder, if I don't have a steering wheel, that's what we'd have today, right? If I don't have a steering wheel, whatever way that wind is blowing, that's the way I'm going to go. Whatever way the wind of the culture is blowing, right? If the culture today would say, you know, let's go back to the 1960s and all us guys, let's have hair down past our shoulders. And that was the culture. There'd be pressure. You'd see that come into the church. However it started, you see it come in. And I'd probably get long hair. Man, I want to be relevant, right? That's the cool thing right now. So it's just whatever the wind, whichever way the wind's blowing. No, as a Christian, I'm just going one way. And that's the way the Spirit's going. And it's just what we said, what's acceptable and pleasable and exalting of the Lord. And so I have a direction. And that's the third sense. The Holy Spirit gives me that direction. I am yielding to the will and the way of the Holy Spirit. And it's not so much that I have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has me. I'm yielded and surrendered totally to the Holy Spirit's way. That's what Paul says. That's the will of the Lord for you and for me. Interesting, some telltale signs. How do I speak? Do I speak in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs? Do I sing? Do I make melody in my heart? Do I give thanks always for just the things, just the times that I get a blizzard at Dairy Queen? Just the times that I anymore have a pan of popcorn made on the stove with oil and with a whole stick and a half of butter? Because those are few and far between now, and no, I'm giving thanks for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, those are just, am I filled with the Spirit? Am I continually being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, ask yourself those things. Would that describe me? I speak to other people. I'm uplifting. I'm encouraging. I'm praising the Lord. The Lord's given me a song of my heart. How great thou art. I'm thinking of that all the time, man. Singing it, maybe making up songs. Maybe I'm always giving thanks for all things to God. Those really show me. Yeah, man. I like those little, those are encouraging things. They can be discouraging things. I'm still shaking my fist at people. You know, not a lot, but I shouldn't say that because it's something I got to deal with. Seems like more. I don't know what it is. You know, what's going on here? Is that stress? Are you stressed out? You know, you're flying off the handle now? You never used to. Am I a fly off the handle guy? No. No, the Lord dealt with that. Really, when I was younger. And so all of a sudden now, I'm going back to my younger days? No, I was once darkness. I don't want to go back there. And so there's little things like that. Okay, Lord, I got to get with you. I got to get on my knees. I got to get in the Word. I got to be being continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe I got to really be conscious of that when I'm driving. Because you know what? There's all kinds of people out there. I was going to say something else. How will I judge them? Hey, there are a lot of people out there in the flesh. Am I just going to respond to them in the flesh? Dads, am I walking in love? Am I walking in light? Am I walking in wisdom? Am I continually being filled with the Holy Spirit? Man, that's what I want. For every one of us, that's what I want. Lord, today on Father's Day, fill us with your Spirit again. Lord, we pray this every Sunday. And Lord, I want to pray it multiple times throughout my day and throughout my week. Lord, how I need that. Lord, teach me what it is to walk more fully in the fullness of your Spirit. Lord, help me to be more surrendered to you. Lord, help me to abide more intimately with you, that the fruit of the Spirit would be produced in my life. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless each dad here. And Lord, we remember even our earthly dads, many of them gone, but what an influence, what an example they were to us. Lord, might we be better. Might we represent our Heavenly Father even better in the time that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.